You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
To our Twitch stream, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Rat Boys. How are you doing?
Great. Good, yeah. How are
Very
you?
Good.
So you were saying earlier that you've wanted to play Primavera Sound for a while, and
tonight
that dream comes true.
Tonight's the night. Or the bell of the ball.
Cross it off the list.
Night one, Barcelona.
Are you excited?
We're so excited. We love this city and it's the most beautiful place on earth.
It's the first time you're playing here in Barcelona, so?
Technically the second time. We played like a very small dive bar in 2016, but it's been a long time.
So this is something we've been talking about in the office for a while, right? And Sergio's probably going to kill me for bringing it up, but I'm gonna do it. So like when I first heard your name over many years ago, I was expecting something a bit kind of punky and filthy and nasty, and it wasn't like that at all. And is that something you get quite a lot, or?
Yeah.
I mean, it's punky and nasty if in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah,
you know? You
got to see us live.
Right, tonight you'll see.
But that was definitely like a thing playing our first shows. People would put us on bills with the crustiest like street funk bands or like harsh noise bands.
Yeah, we started playing shows before streaming was really a thing. And so people would just judge us based on our name, not knowing anything about what our music sounded like. So we ended up on a lot of pretty heavy, hardcore bills at the beginning.
And what did you do? Did you like, all right, it's time for, you know, Wild Thing or something?
No, we just played our normal music. And back then, if you can believe it, I played an acoustic guitar live. So it was even softer. And I will tell you this, though. I think the hardest punks love an acoustic set. I think we don't give people enough credit.
It's a good reprieve.
Yeah. Little variety.
And every punk band, when they get like older, the frontman always like has his side project being an acoustic one. So
it's true.
I mean, you've been called Rat Boys. Are you that fan of the Simpsons? Because I always think, when I think about a rat boy, I think of Bart Simpson like biting the door.
It's a beautiful thing.
Who could forget, dear rat boy?
Who could forget? Yeah, no, we love the Simpsons. Rat Boy is my high school nickname. And so I didn't know about the Simpsons rat boy and the Bart Simpson rat boy until later.
I don't want to be rude and feel free to utterly ignore this question, but... where does that come from?
I don't know. To this day, I don't know. My friends just called me that for no reason. And, well, maybe there is a reason and they never told me.
Well, you guys wrote like a little operetta the lunch table.
Yeah, everyone had nicknames, right?
Everyone had nicknames. That was mine. It just became this inside joke and we created a whole Rat Boy persona. And it lives on.
Can we know the other nicknames?
No.
I don't think they're safe. They're
very disgusting.
You'll be banned on Twitch.
Not safe for work.
So, you know, I said my colleague had been writing some pretty weird questions. I've got one, which I'm pretty sure is his work. And maybe it's your work, Sergio. We'll see. All right. Let's see how it goes. Is there something about the nature of rats and society's rejection of these animals that you identified with as a group? Were you outsiders?
That's a great question.
That was mine, that one.
Okay, right.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. I forgot.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You read that rat book, Julia.
I have actually studied the ecology of city rats kind of extensively. I think they're beautiful, like in the way that rats really value their routines and their family structure. I identify with that for sure. I don't know if we were necessarily outsiders ever. If anything, maybe we were
maybe on the
insiders.
Hardcore
shows. Yeah,
maybe. Nonconformists, a little bit, sure. I don't know. Rats are a good mirror of society, though, too. So it's like, you know, you see yourself in the rat.
I like the idea of like paying attention. And once you start like really focusing on your surroundings, you see rats all the time. And I think that's kind of beautiful.
We're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, funnily enough, you've kind of, you're not quite everywhere yet, but you've been like, it's been like a real kind of big build for you, you know, over the past few years. Like, was there a moment when you're like, oh, we're really onto something here?
Maybe this afternoon when we sound checked.
Yeah.
On the big stage. Yeah.
About 20 minutes ago when I was sitting with my feet in the pool with an Aperol spritz looking over the city of Barcelona.
It's very, very surreal.
Things are on the up and up.
Yeah, it's just beautiful here. I don't know. I mean, it's really just so exciting to get to play shows, like play new songs. You know, we've put out a lot of records, but we've never had the timing be quite right where we could tour right away on a new album. And so this is our first time getting to do that. And it's been really great, like more than we could have hoped for. So it's exciting.
And you've been touring with the Decemberists, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We just got off leg one like 2 days ago. Yeah. And we flew straight in.
You're like, okay, last show was like at the Grand Ole Opry and now we're at Primavera. And that's like just so wild.
The Grand Ole Opry, okay, legendary country music venue. Yeah. I mean, there is something country to, well, I would say there's something country to your music, right?
Oh, definitely, oh, yeah.
Some twang.
We all kind of grew up with like our moms playing country radio too.
Shania Twain.
Yeah. Sheryl Crow.
The Cheryl. Yeah.
Was it a pretty intimidating place to play though?
Honestly, no. I was, well, at least that's how I felt.
Yeah, it just felt special. Energy, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very small, very intimate. And so I was preparing myself to feel intimidated, but I actually felt extremely kind of at peace mm-hmm. there. And it sounds so good. The room sounds so good.
So you're playing, I might have got this wrong, but you're playing a sort of hometown gig this summer because you are going back to Bend. Is that right? Because there's several Bend. Like you're playing one Bend. Yes. So this has got me slightly confused.
Oh, South Bend.
Yeah. Bend, Oregon is very far away from where we live.
Oh, yes. Damn it. Right. I didn't know how many Bends there were.
Yeah. But Julie and Dave went to college in South Bend.
Indiana.
Which is like...
Actually east.
North and east.
South Bend is east of Bend.
But we've never been to... Well, Bend is in the west.
Yeah, yeah.
Bend is very far west. It's a beautiful city. No, I've heard. We've never actually been there.
They should have called it West Bend.
West Bend.
What the hell?
I told them to. They didn't listen.
I'm catching up.
Talking of big moments. In 2020, you got a shout out from Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
At a campaign rally. What was that about? Was he using your music or something?
Yeah, he was totally using our music. No. Dave and I got to play at one of his political rallies in Iowa, shortly before the Iowa caucuses in the 2020 election. It was maybe the coolest thing. That might be the answer to your question about like we're doing something right. The fact that we kind of cosmically ended up there. And one of the coolest things about that whole experience was just seeing how his team worked, because it's very DIY. It reminded us of like a DIY basement show or something, because it was just very like everyone was on the same team. There weren't any egos really.
Yeah,
you just saw all the parts come together. Yeah, no frills. Like, and it was like we got to headline the Bernie Sanders basement show. It was
like,
really cool.
Do you want to play and we'll bring the PA and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, is he a fan of your music? I mean, did he
well,
come?
No.
I
hope. Well, maybe. Gosh, I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. But
the shout out, I think, is something he always does. I mean, I think he has a lot of respect for musicians and like people like in the gig economy and stuff like that.
There were some secret punks working on the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He's known for having quite a good taste on music, right?
Mm-hmm. I suppose. Well, I mean, the guy that was running his campaign events, at least in that part of the country, used to play in a band that we had played shows with in like punk venues and stuff. And so, yeah, his campaign like events planner was an old punk kid. And so that's how we got hooked up with them.
I mean, to take things back to South Bend. No, I think I've got this right. Where you formed.
Yes.
You met at college. I mean, was that like a very nurturing way of forming a band? Like, I mean, is it a good place, you know, yeah, to make music and to experiment?
I think so.
Yeah, I was nurturing. I mean, one thing that sticks out is like there weren't many other musicians at college like that were into the kind of rock and roll thing we were doing. You know, there's the orchestra and everything. But you kind of just had to... I like played in a couple punk and hardcore bands in the Chicago burbs where I'm from, where me and Sean are from. And we kind of... like took that and we're like, okay, if we want to keep doing stuff like that, we gotta find it on our own. So we started playing a lot of, you know, little regional shows, Central Michigan, or you know, going to Champaign, for instance.
Yeah, South Bend is a pretty small city. There's not a ton of stuff happening all the time. So it was kind of nice to be able to just blend right into that community and not worry about selling tickets or, like, we didn't have social media accounts for the first 4 years that we were playing music. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't trying to, we didn't have any goals or expectations really as far as, like, getting somewhere. It was nice to just play music together.
Do you think that helped that you just didn't really mind about, you know, being a success or crossing over to BB, you just kind of did your own thing?
Oh, definitely.
I think so. I think that's like the number one piece of advice I would offer young musicians is if you can enjoy playing music with your bandmates in an empty room, you're going to have a hard time being disappointed if no one comes to your shows for the first few years.
It's good step one.
Yeah, like we really enjoyed each other's company from the get-go, and so it's been smooth sailing from there. That helps, you know.
Would you say The Window, which was released August 2023, is a sort of more rock album?
Yes.
I think it rocks.
It rocks.
It rolls.
It rolls sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely maybe more like immediate in how it sounds, like top to bottom. We recorded it live to tape, which was really fun. And I think we were pretty locked in as a band. We like rehearsed those songs a lot going into the studio. So
I get really kind of quite big The Breeders vibes. And I love The Breeders. So
thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the longest time you've ever spent in the studio, right?
Yeah, we were there for like a month pretty much.
And did that really change it?
I think so.
It's like yes and no. Because, you know, we recorded live on the floor most of the takes. So we had like a really good, you know, 80% representation a week in. And then we had lots of time to just like play around and refine it, which helped a lot of songs. Like It's Alive, like some songs were like, oh, this needs a haircut or this needs like, I need to sleep on this and wake up and like fiddle around with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe when you're having like this much of time for recording an album, it's like, yeah, maybe I don't think this is good. It's like, no, it's a little bit of a difficult time.
I think it was the perfect amount of time to where we weren't second guessing because we had too much time, but we had enough time where, like Dave said, if something wasn't feeling quite right, we could give ourselves the night to come in the next day and try it again. It was a really good balance for us. It was right.
We were able to chase every rabbit hole we wanted to.
Yeah. You know? And not overdo it too. Like we went up to the final day recording. We never like spent too much time on a song, I don't think.
Could I just say, please don't do My Bloody Valentine and spend 20 years on the next one. That'll be...
Is that what they were doing?
who knows what they were doing?
Do you have to wait for the tape to degrade that long?
Exactly.
Yes.
Sounds better.
So can you tell us about the title track of the album? There's a very moving story behind it.
Yeah, that song, The Window, is like a very... It's a physical thing. It's not really a metaphor. It goes into the story of my grandpa saying goodbye to my grandma, who was kind of in her final moments. And this was in the summer of 2020, so people couldn't really be together in close proximity, and she was living in a nursing home. And so, he was able to arrange with the nursing home workers to... She was living on the ground floor, so he was able to just walk up and they opened a window and they kind of had like their big goodbye. She passed away a few hours later. And my mom told me this story. I wasn't there in person to witness this, but when my mom called and told me, you know, broke the news and told me the details of that, it just, it really moved me. And I just wanted to memorialize that.
One thing I find very interesting about it is it's a very... specific tale, but kind of is very moving generally. I mean, is that something you... How do you stand on sort of specificity?
Yeah, it's something I try not to think about too much because I feel like that could really get in the way when songwriting, because you want something to be relatable, but also you want to be honest and like, I find it much easier to write from experience. And so... it was just something that immediately felt so urgent, like I needed to write it down. And so I didn't really stop and let myself think about that. But oddly enough, you know, we started playing that song on tour right after we recorded it and before it was released, obviously. And every night that we would play that song, people would come up and kind of share similar experiences or just say that they could actually relate to that song, and it kind of blew my mind. And so, yeah, it feels really nice to be able to connect with people that way.
It's a sort of great COVID song, you know.
Yeah.
We all lived through it.
Well, yeah.
Oh. And so you're off to, after this, you're off to the UK, is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Have you toured outside much before? So kind of internationally?
Yeah, a decent amount. We actually did like 2 tours in Europe and the UK that were like straight up like DIY punk tours. And then we did a big tour opening for Julian Baker in 2022, 6 weeks in Europe. That was a big one. And yeah, that's the one where we started playing The Window live and people were resonating with it. So it's nice to be back. We like it over here.
Yeah, we were just there in November too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's certainly a real pleasure to have you here. You're playing tonight at 7:35.
On the dot.
On the dot.
Be there, be square.
And there's no way you'd say where it is because there's only one place it can be. It's over there. It is a big stage, and I suspect there's going to be quite a lot of people there.
We'll see. Oh, yeah. We'll see.
Rat boys, neither rats nor boys, but thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us. Thank you. Appreciate it.